the garbage, you flyboy.
This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
Welcome to this week's Trash Compactor podcast, Star Wars from a Certain Point of View. I'm MC and I'm here with...
I'm Sarah.
So we've been away for a while, and during that time, a bunch of stuff has happened that we care incredibly deeply about because Clone Wars.
Clone Wars. Oh my gosh, Clone Wars.
Yeah, I don't even think we need to say anything else. Like, this is the reason why we've been away, obviously, because we just could not deal with the emotional fallout from Clone Wars.
Right. It's taken us 3 weeks to process.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That is totally the reason.
Yep.
We were not being lazy or, you know, anything like that. We were emotionally compromised.
Exactly.
So we've already talked about the first arc that happened in the Clone Wars, the Bad Batch. So we had two more arcs of four episodes each. I think we will start by talking about the first one, which I don't know if it has like a proper title. I mean, the other ones are Bad Batch and Siege of Mandalore. I mean, this one, I guess you could call it Gone with a Trace, which, you know, or it's the Ahsoka arc.
I think they were calling it Ahsoka's Walkabout.
Okay, that totally makes sense then.
I don't know if that's official or not, but that's what it's been referred to as.
Yeah, I think of it as just the Ahsoka arc.
Yeah.
This is where we find out exactly what happened to Ahsoka following her leaving the Jedi and before she comes back for the Siege of Mandalore. I thought this arc was... I liked it. I liked this arc, but I would have liked this arc a lot more in season 6 than I did in season 7.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Not necessarily season 6, but it was a brilliant arc. It wasn't the last three arcs of Clone Wars we were going to get.
Exactly. Like, this just, I mean, I understand what they were going for. They wanted to establish what happened to Ahsoka and they wanted to have her go on a character journey. But what, I don't know how much of a character journey she went on. It's like, I can see little things that happen to her that obviously do affect the way she acts in the future. But it just seemed so small and focused on characters that we had not seen before, did not see afterwards. It's like, this is the second to last thing that we're ever going to see of the Clone Wars. This does not feel large enough.
Right. But at the same time, it's more Ahsoka. So how much can I possibly complain?
That is true. And one thing that I kept on thinking the entire time I was watching this was just how Ahsoka always has more chemistry with young women in her life than she ever does with any male love interest. And I know she only had like one or two. Yeah, Ahsoka's queer. It's just...
Yeah, I can't really argue.
Because she and Trace had, there was obviously some chemistry there between them.
I would love to see more Ahsoka and Trace.
So we have Ahsoka going into the underworld of Coruscant. I'm, for some reason, always here for the underworld of Coruscant.
It's fun.
Yeah, I just love the idea of there's this, you know, city on top where, you know, the beautiful people, the elite, all live. But then I love the underworld where it's like... This city planet has hundreds, maybe thousands of layers to it. And the deeper down you go, the, you know, poorer and kind of sketchier everything gets. And I really like that. So, and it's interesting seeing like this uptown girl, Ahsoka, going down to this deeper level and seeing how things are just so different from her perspective to what other people are, particularly with this, the most relevant one is how they think of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how outsiders view the Jedi and just how using what we know from Trace and Rafa, how easy it actually was for the Emperor to turn everyone against them.
Yeah.
Because where there's one person, there's a million.
Oh, yeah. I like that they used something that actually happened in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they made up something. And it was showing that things actually have consequences, because we see these huge battles and, you know, stuff blowing up and people fighting. And, you know, we're all like, yay, the Jedi won. But then also it's like they're destroying where people are living, and maybe right. they're not going to have the best reaction to the Jedi. And you have these people who are, you know, trained to not feel like an emotional connection with everybody. And maybe they're not the best people to provide comfort in that kind of situation.
Yeah. It's like they just left these two young girls to deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah.
You don't have any, like, war orphans fund? Come on. Get it together. You know, you're supposed to be guardians of
peace. Foster homes or something. Adults.
Yeah. But they don't have force powers, so they don't give a shit about them. They only care about younglings if they've got powers.
Right.
And even then, I'm not even sure if they care about younglings then.
No, not really. Yeah. But that's a whole other episode.
Oh, yeah. I think the one part that kind of bothered me about this, other than it, you know, its placement in the series, was when they were... The plan just seemed so... I mean, obviously it was poorly put together because it's like kids, you don't really know what the fuck they're doing. But when it got to the point of, oh, we've done this thing, we shouldn't have done this thing, they might end up taking the ship. And then the argument about, you know, they're not going to take my ship, I'm going to do this stupid thing that is going to make them want to take my ship even more. Mm-hmm. I was just facepalming so hard. And I was like, oh my God, like... Can you just stop, think about things for a moment? I mean, I guess I was kind of in Ahsoka's place, which is the point.
Yeah. No, I mean, I liked the arc.
Yeah, no, I liked it.
I did. I think it had some weirdness. I want to point out that how do holograms work?
Oh, I mean, we could do an entire episode about that.
Well, no, but I mean, there's the point where we're at the end of the arc when Maul is... seeing Ahsoka not anywhere near where the hologram should be.
Yeah.
And if that's my biggest issue with it, then I guess that's okay.
I mean, do you have anything else to say about the arc other than what we've already talked about? Okay, go for it.
I loved seeing Ursa Wren show up.
Okay, yes. Ursa Wren was... Yeah.
That was... Because most of the arc was written before Clone Wars was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing that couldn't have existed then. It was such a nice, tiny little Rebels tie-in.
Yeah.
That I just, and I love all those tiny details.
Which we'll get another one in the Siege of Mandalore, which I'll point out. But yeah, no, I do love the connections between, I mean, Filoni is very good with that kind of stuff. And once we finally talk about what's going to be happening with Mandalorian season 2, we'll have to get more into the connections between different shows. But I think that's the important part and something that the Star Wars films should learn about having a single creator work on things, is that you can connect things together in ways that you would not even, that you would not expect. Like, it's not a huge thing. It's someone who happens to be there. And, you know, it's not really, you know, not a lot of attention is put on it. It's not like throwing in, I have a bad feeling about this and expecting people to go all crazy about it. It's something that is there specifically for the fans who have watched all of Rebels to get excited about.
It really is an Easter egg. Yeah.
So the lesson is, have Dave Filoni do everything in the Star Wars universe.
Yes. Agreed. Completely, entirely agreed. So do we have anything else about Ahsoka's walkabout? Or are we moving on to Siege of Mandalore?
I think Ahsoka's walkabout was good. I thought it was, you know, some good character development for her. I wish we had had, I mean, obviously with me, it's always going to be, I wish we had more Clone Wars because it's the Clone Wars. But we did have to do something with, we could not go right from Ahsoka leaves the Jedi to the Siege of Mandalore. There did need to be something in the middle. I don't know. Here's the thing. It's like, usually when I feel like this, I will come in with, this is how I would have done it. But this time I'm like, I have no idea how I would do that. So, you know.
I do. More episodes.
Well.
There we go. Problem solved.
Okay. But yes. Let's talk about the thing that's going to take up the majority of this episode, because it's the siege of motherfucking Mandalore.
Yeah. We've been waiting for this for how many years?
Like
six? A long time.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We've been waiting for the siege of Mandalore, but it goes even beyond that, because it's not only the siege of Mandalore, it's Order 66.
Yeah. It's the end of the Clone Wars.
And I think we had an idea that they would touch on this, but I don't know how much we realized they were going to get into Order 66. So, I mean, I was blown away by all of this. It's like, from the very beginning to the very last shot, I was here for it. Now, I have to admit, I actually went on a period of, I did not watch the episodes while they were airing, because stuff was happening, and it just seemed like they were, ended up being like four Fridays in a row, and I don't know how that happened. And also because they aired one of the episodes early, didn't they?
Yeah,
they aired one episode on Friday, and then they did it on, I think, Tuesday?
It was Friday, Monday.
Okay.
Because that last episode came out on May the 4th.
Yeah, I didn't watch the episodes when they were coming out. I watched them on May the 4th. I watched all of them together. And they gave us a movie.
I watched them that way this morning. Because I did watch the episodes as they came out at like 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning. And then today I decided to sit down and watch all four of them straight through. Holy movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like everything, all of the, I mean, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to bring up the, you know, how disappointed I was in Rise of Skywalker, but all of the feelings that I did not have for Rise of Skywalker, I had for this.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
This was something that they had built up for years. It's like, we knew that the Siege of Mandalore happened, but we did not know what happened. Right. Like, we have an episode that's still to come out where we wonder if Obi-Wan and Maul had an interaction in the Siege of Mandalore. And then we find out Obi-Wan wasn't even there.
Yeah, yeah. I have one very small complaint over those episodes.
Okay.
Only two of them actually had to do with the Siege of Mandalore.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, we had the Siege of Mandalore. It's like this arc was split up into the Siege of Mandalore and then Order 66, which I can understand be as a complaint, because we were told that the Siege of Mandalore was this big epic thing that could have taken up so many episodes. But by doing it this way, they really blindsided us, because we did expect like this big heroic battle of the Siege of Mandalore. And then it's like, no, we're just gonna, you know, have all of the clones.
Right, yeah, my complaint is nothing to do with the story at all. Because I think the way that it was put together is just, it's absolute perfection.
Your complaint is not enough episodes?
No, my complaint is just in the naming of the arc.
Okay, I understand that.
That's all it is. It's like, it's a terrible title. You were lying to us. And that's it. Because I wouldn't change a single thing other than that.
But by calling it the Siege of Mandalore, we don't know what's coming, so.
Right.
And I think, like, you want the audience to be blindsided by Order 66 the same way that the Jedi are.
Right.
And the same way the clones are, which we'll get into, because. And let's start at the beginning, because, things and stuff, but. There's a lot to talk about. I will talk about, like, I mentioned it before, that Dave Filoni is genius and is able to work in stuff that will only pay off for, like, diehard fans. And I think we probably mentioned it during, we've mentioned it this before, maybe during a trailer reaction. But they have a very brief scene of the Jedi Council meeting, and we see baby Caleb Doom.
Yep. That was, I mean, after seeing that scene in the trailer, I really hope there would be more than just that tiny clip.
Yeah.
But I still love that tiny clip.
Yeah. If I could have added anything, I might have put in, you know, in Revenge of the Sith, they have the little montage of Jedi.
Everyone dying.
I might have put, yeah. I might have put in a montage like that of some of the characters that we did not know what happened to them. Ones that we just had never seen a scene of, just so we could have had the scene of Caleb Doom running away. But the thing is, it's like, that would have been like complete fan service, like just for me.
Yeah, and I think it would have broken the intensity of what we got.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't mind seeing it in like cut scenes or bonus features, but I would not have put it in the episode.
You probably could have gotten away with putting it in at the end. Like between when the ship crashes and between when Vader finds it, I think he could have gotten away with it. But you know what? That's just me. I want, just give me the scene of Caleb Doom running away.
Yeah.
And I will provide a link to it in the show notes. But somebody made an awesome video that I sent to Sarah. Yeah. And I was like, I have goosebumps watching this.
It's amazing.
Somebody had taken the scenes from Revenge of the Sith, scenes from a video game, which I'm not sure which game it is.
Jedi Fallen Order, probably.
Jedi Fallen Order and the Clone Wars. And they took all of the Order 66 stuff and cut it together. And it is chilling. I had all of the feels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very well done. And it worked so, like, because you were mixing mediums because there was live action and CGI, and I guess the video games are CGI, but a different kind of CGI. And they all still work together. I mean, maybe part of that is because there's just so much CGI in the prequels, but still, it's like, I love that you could mix them together and still get the same impact. So,
yes.
But after we have the little opening, we have an opening shot of Obi-Wan and Anakin, and they're fighting against droids.
Not really a completely unnecessary shot, but I love seeing Obi-Wan come diving down to save Cody.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I feel like it was important only because they... because they're not in this.
Yeah. It was good to see them being heroes.
Yeah. And this is the last chance. If now that we know what happened, this is the last chance they had to be heroes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess Obi-Wan's always a hero, but things go badly for him from this point on.
Yeah, they really kind of do.
Yeah, but this is their last hurrah, and I think it works very nicely. And then we find out that, you know, what's happening with Mandalore.
Yep.
And first use of Fulcrum.
Yes.
Right? Which completely spoils my headcanon as to the fact that I said that there was a Fulcrum before Ahsoka. But do you know what? You know, my headcanons, no matter how much I fight it, are not canon. And there could be more than one Fulcrum, because, I mean, that's how Fulcrums work.
Exactly.
But we see that it's Ahsoka Tano. And we get some interactions between Anakin and Ahsoka, which really, we had to have it.
Yes.
We had to have it so bad. Sorry, just jumping back to the previous arc. One thing we didn't talk about is the brief Anakin cameo.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that one.
Which honestly is one of my favorite parts of that whole arc, where it's like they're trying to get away, and Anakin senses Ahsoka's on the ship and just lets him go. Because, and it was just so sweet, and it was like, it gave me chills. It's like, oh my God, he still cares about her so much.
Yeah.
I have feelings about Anakin and Ahsoka. Not in a shippy way, but just like in a
Padawan master.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Little brother sister type thing.
Mm-hmm. Irritating sibling.
Makes everything that happens so hard because at this time Anakin is starting to go to the dark side. It'd be actually really interesting to watch Revenge of the Sith end this like back to back.
Yeah, it really would be.
It would hurt.
Yep.
A lot. Oh man.
Might have to try to do that this weekend. Maybe. See if I still have a heart left at the end.
So Maul has taken over Mandalore.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi can't send anybody there because they're really busy with the fact that they're losing the war.
And something about treaties.
Yeah.
Or history or something.
Motion with my hand.
I'm also the first to admit that I don't have a good handle on Mandalore's history.
Yeah.
So, something about treaties and history. And the Jedi can't interfere.
Yeah, which is silly because it's like, it's freaking Maul. Like,
I know.
Whatever treaties you have, just, you know, break them. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're going to send in Ahsoka because she's sort not of. Actually a Jedi. Sort of.
They can't really send in Ahsoka because she's not a Jedi anymore.
She's not a Jedi anymore.
So instead they promote Rex.
Yeah.
And I just love the little drop in of, here's how we get from captain to commander. That's it. We now have Commander Rex. Moving on.
And Ahsoka is what, like an advisor, I think? Is
liaison,
what
I think?
Yeah.
Something like
one
that.
One of those bullshit terms where it's just like
you have permission to be there but no authority until you're out of our sight.
It's like, please don't do this thing, wink wink,
right? And Anakin gives Ahsoka lightsabers and a squad of clones.
Yeah, it's the lightsabers are very important because, well, one, you know, giving Ahsoka lightsabers, which you know, representing that he still thinks that of her as a Jedi, but also what he's improved the lightsabers and the color has changed. They are distinctly blue now. I know Filoni actually commented on it, but almost in a way that he did quote unquote improve them to his standards, I think almost reflects Anakin's headspace where he thinks he knows what's best for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a sweet moment, but at the same time, if you dig a little deeper and it's like, oh no, this, you know, there's some weirdness with this, but you know, that's Anakin for you. It's sweet, but there's weirdness that's kind of dark if you actually think about it.
Possessiveness.
Yes. Possessiveness. That is exactly the right term. But then he also gives her members of the 501st.
See, I'd love to see some background on that just from the clone's perspective. Now, I always want the clone's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd love to know whether he went, hey, this squad, you're going with Ahsoka, and none of them complained.
Or if they volunteered
each other to go, I want to go, but we can't all go.
We have such high expectations for that book that is coming out about the clone.
Yeah, we really kind of do.
But, I mean, I would go with they were fighting each other over it because of what we see of them with the helmets.
Yes. And I love the Ahsoka painted helmets.
Yeah. I mean, I want to have so many helmets in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just like a fact. But I really do want to get the Ahsoka painted helmets.
Yeah, totally. All right, so now they're diving through the sky.
Yeah. We have Commander Rex, we have Ahsoka, who's totally not in charge.
Nope.
And the 501st in their, you know, Ahsoka painted helmets, and they're diving into Mandalore, literally. Race you to the surface.
I don't need a jetpack. I don't remember the exact line, but it's something like that.
It made me think of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, when he just like throws himself out.
Yeah.
I love characters that are powerful enough that it's just like, I'm just diving in there.
Yeah.
It's a trope I will never get sick of.
Nope. So yes. So then they're on Mandalore and they're fighting Mandalorians.
Yes.
And the actual Siege of Mandalore is about the least important part of the Siege of Mandalore.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about it, but it's just the way it is.
What I would like to talk about is Maul versus Ahsoka.
Oh, God, that is, like, insane.
It is so good. I mean, maybe I was influenced by the fact that I knew it going in, that they had used Ray Park to I don't even know.
The motion capture.
Motion capture, that's the word. Yeah.
They talked about that at the Clone Wars panel at Celebration, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe that was influenced by it. But as soon as he started fighting, I immediately said, that's Ray Park.
Uh-huh.
It's like you could see him. It's like they're pretty good with Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. But there was a distinct shift in the way
he moves.
Darth Maul moves when he's just regularly animated and when he was mo-capped with Ray Park. There was a flavor there, which was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah, no, that was
sorry.
Really, really amazing.
Having these two against each other and having Maul basically he's going to fight Ahsoka. But he's basically uninterested in doing it. He's like, you're supposed to be Kenobi.
He was so disappointed.
Because we're going to be having our Obi-Maul episode coming out. Spoiler alert, we did an Obi-Maul episode. But I almost feel like Maul took over Mandalore just to get Obi-Wan. Like, that is just like the biggest, you know, like, cry for attention.
Yes.
The only thing he's thinking about is, you know, fighting against Obi-Wan.
Yeah. No, it really was. He was, you know, come look at me.
When is the bit where Maul is talking to the different members of the Syndicate? Have we already passed that? Or was that later?
No, that's before this.
Okay.
Because by this point, the fight's over, they capture him.
Okay. Yeah. Right? This is another Dave Filoni is a fucking genius thing, because we do, and it is such, like, they don't draw attention to it at all. But when Maul is talking to the members of the Syndicate, you do see Dryden Voss.
Yeah, you do. I forgot about that.
He is not in any prominence. It's like he is kind of hidden behind Maul. He's just there. And I'm like, is that Dryden Voss? Oh my God, this tie-in, it's a Solo. I get so excited about things being connected to other things. It's so such a nerd thing for me. But I like when things feel organic. And it's like, this is a real universe. And
yes. This
kind of stuff. There would be these kinds of connections. Mm-hmm. Not everything. It's like Solo is not part self-contained. So it would bleed over into things like the Clone Wars. I was just, but you also don't need to call attention to it. You don't need to like point fingers and be like, applaud here because we are referencing a thing.
Right. It's subtle. I like the subtle.
But yes, we have the big fight and the fight is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they capture Maul, and you'd think that it would turn out really well, but
nothing ever does. We know what's coming.
Execute Order 66.
Yeah.
Oh, and as soon as they said it, I was just like, well, I mean, I think the thing is, it's like as soon as they took a hold of Maul, and it's like, they're still like,
Two episodes left.
Like, this is really early. Oh, shit. What's going to happen? And kind of in my head, it's like, why are you asking what's going to happen? You know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's like you don't even believe it's about to happen.
Yeah.
And you know it's coming.
And even though we know what happens, it's like we know that all of the Jedi die,
right?
And we know that Ahsoka gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. They actually found a way to make a foregone conclusion seem very dramatic. And I think the crux of that was Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, we know what happens to Rex. We know that he ends up having his chip deactivated. And, you know, he ends up joining the rebels, mm-hmm. you know, to Endor and beyond. Yay. Is what Dee Bradley Baker said to me. I think everybody thought that his chip was already deactive.
I didn't. I will admit, I thought he would fight it harder than he did. And he fought it really damn hard.
Oh, my God. Well, I think that I thought this, and I think that there were a lot of other people who thought this. Rex has a line in Rebels where he said he never turned against his general, which I guess is true. Because Ahsoka wasn't his general.
I was going to say, is that the line, or did he say he didn't turn against his Jedi? Because I don't remember specifically.
I'm pretty sure he said general.
Well, then he is telling the absolute and total truth.
He is telling the truth from a certain point of view.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with Obi-Wan for a little while.
But still, he fought that harder than any one of them did.
It hurts so much. He cried, and I was like, oh my God, Rex is crying and his hand is shaking and he doesn't want to shoot Ahsoka, but he knows he can't stop it.
God. In the middle of that, he gave her the information that she needed to fix it.
Rex is awesome. There's a reason why he is one of my top 10 characters.
Yes, absolutely. So Rex is awesome. We love him. He's amazing. 5 saved everyone's life.
We find out more about Order 66 because not only is it kill all the Jedi, it's kill all the Force users.
Right.
Because Maul is...
Yes. For a very brief second when Rex tried to tell them she's not a Jedi, I thought it would work.
Yeah.
Just for that, like, tiny, tiny little bit of time.
Yeah, that hope that the, you know, because, you know, we love the clones and we don't want our clones to try to kill Ahsoka.
I know.
But.
And it was Jesse right in front, and I love Jesse also.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's appropriate that it didn't. Also, it tells us that even though Ahsoka doesn't see herself as a Jedi, she sure as hell still is.
She really is.
I'm going to be, now I can't think of the word, Force weirdness. The Force still sees her as a Jedi.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. I think it's all a matter of Jedi, non-Jedi. Mm-hmm. I think really it's all set dressing. It's like, you're a dark side user, you're a light side user. That's kind of... But, I mean, even we find out here, that doesn't matter to Sidious. The only thing... Sidious wants every Jedi, every Force user dead, except for him and Anakin.
He wants his competition gone.
And that includes Maul. And Ahsoka's going to use that to her advantage. Mm-hmm. Except not. It's when she's going... As she's going up to that, first of all, it's like that, I mean, maybe it's me. I mean, I guess maybe it's too much of a wink and a nod, but I kind of wanted to see Maul and Carbonite. As soon as she goes up to that chamber to release Maul, I'm like, oh, honey.
Not a good idea.
Oh, honey, this is a bad idea.
It's like for all that she didn't want to kill the clones, she released Maul, who was going to kill all the clones, and she had to know that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, she was in a bad situation, but I feel like she just poured gasoline on the fire. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, she could have gotten out of there with more clones alive had she not released Maul.
Right.
But in that moment, it's like she wasn't thinking
straight. She didn't really have a choice. It's like, she needed to get out, and...
And the scene with Maul, the scenes with Maul are freaking, it is amazing. You don't see anything. Like, there's, it's so, what he does is so horrific without even seeing, like, any, like, body parts or anything.
Right.
But he's just, like, using the Force to cut clones in half and, you know, all of this awful oh my, I love Maul so much. It's like I don't love bad guys all that much. You're even bigger on it than I am, but you know, certainly that's not really my thing. But
Maul is watching him, fascinating.
Yeah, watching him just mow through these clones, I'm just like, oh my god, Maul is super badass.
He's another one I'd love to see those events from his perspective.
Yeah,
because I kind of, on second viewing, I kind of thought, well, does he actually want to kill the clones, or does he just want to get the hell off that ship and they're in the way?
I think a little of both.
No, but that's why I'd like to see it from his perspective.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. I do think the self-preservation is probably the biggest thing on his mind, but also I think he just doesn't care.
No,
the clones are just there. Yeah. And then we have Rex, and we've already talked a little bit about Rex, but we get more of Rex, and we actually, this is the moment when Rex changes from Rex in the Clone Wars to Rebels Rex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he loses everything.
Yes.
Oh my, like, as much as Ahsoka has lost, I think Rex loses more.
Mm-hmm.
Because he loses all of his brothers. He loses them twice.
Yeah.
Because they lose their mission, the only thing that they have believed in their entire existence. And then they all die.
Right.
And not only that, but he is partially responsible for their destruction. And he loses, I mean, he doesn't know what happens to Anakin, but he loses Anakin.
He loses everything.
He loses everything. But he still, he loses everything except who he is, because he is able to get that back by having the chip deactivated. Yeah. And I think he holds on to that. And that's what is going to sustain him through his time in hiding and his time into Rebels. And when we actually see him in Rebels as the soldier, he carries on what being a clone trooper was supposed to be, like fighting the good fight. Mm-hmm. And he does that all the way through the rebellion. Again, one of the reasons why Rex is my favorite character, one of my favorite characters, because he believes wholeheartedly in the battle of good versus evil. And he's able to recognize good versus evil. While the clones do have this chip in their head that tells them to kill all the Jedi, there are clones after Order 66 who still serve the Empire, because the Empire was, you know, the Republic, and that is what they're supposed to do. And Rex realizes that, you know, no, not going to do that. These people are bad. I'm going to fight against them. Granted, it takes a little while.
Can we talk about as Ahsoka was removing that chip? I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me. I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me. Which was intense enough to hear, and then Rex started echoing it.
Yes. I nearly forgot, but I can't believe I nearly forgot, because it did. As soon as I heard it, I'm like,
Yeah. And that's another one of those tiny little tie-ins to the bigger universe. I'm not sure we've seen that anywhere outside of Rogue One.
We have not, because actually I wrote it into my fic.
Okay.
And I had a Jedi character say it.
But it feels like we've now seen it everywhere.
It does. It feels like it's now an established thing. But yeah, up until now, the only person who had said it was Chirrut. And so we didn't know if it was like an actual saying, or if it was just some like a mantra of Chirrut's, or if it was just part of the Guardians of the Will's, you know, belief system. But by having Ahsoka and Rex say it, it's like, no, this is a thing that the Jedi do.
Mm-hmm. And I know some people are trying to say that it's proving that Rex is Force sensitive. I think it's more saying that everyone is part of the Force.
Yeah. Which is how I like to look at the Force. Mm-hmm. Everybody is a part of the Force. It's just because the Force binds the universe together. It's just that the Jedi are kind of, I call them hubs in the Force. That the Force kind of converges onto them, and that's why they're able to manipulate it.
Yeah.
And Rex is part of the Force because he's part of the galaxy. He's part of the universe. So, yeah, I mean, like, if you want to have Force-sensitive Rex, go ahead.
I'm okay with it.
It might be a very interesting fic. Actually, if you have Force-sensitive Rex fics, please send them to me. If
me too.
You have Rex fics, please send them to me, because I could use some good Rex. Rex is Rex.
Yes.
But yeah, I wouldn't say that this proves that Rex is Force-sensitive. I think it proves that Rex respects the Jedi religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a giant battle.
And it's
a wonderful giant battle, but it is a giant battle.
It is. My favorite bit was when Rex loses his command and he's just like, you know, he preferred being a captain anyways.
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. I love that.
And it explains why in Rebels, why he's still Captain Rex rather than commander.
Yeah. I love Ahsoka taking his helmet off. It's just going, you know, you are a unique person. And then there's a lot of fighting. And
there
falling.
There is a lot of fighting and falling and dying.
And dying. And did you realize that there is not a line of dialogue for the last, like, 7 minutes of that episode?
Yeah. It's so intense. Dialogue would have ruined it.
It would have, but you expect it. Like, I forget what, I think it's Rex's is the last line. And I forget exactly what he says, but it's, you expect when Ahsoka finally gets in the Y-Wing to say something. And you expect, you know, when they crash to say something, and there's nothing. And it's, there's so much power in silence.
I think about Joss Whedon. Because I do that a lot. Listen to Return to the Hellmouth. But he did an episode that was, I think, like 70% silent called Hush. And he said one of the reasons he did that is because people were always praising him for his dialogue. And he realized that he used the dialogue as a crutch. That you could undercut the tension in something by having people speak, and it just amps up emotions and everything when you take that away. And I think that is very evident in this, you know, 7 minute scene of silence where it's, you've got beautiful score on it.
Oh God, yes.
Oh, I think that, I mean, Clone Wars has always been very good with music, but I think in particular, Like we said, they gave us a movie, and this in particular, and I think the score they knocked out of the park on, just, you know, taking away the dialogue and taking away that comfort of having Rex and Ahsoka talk to each other.
And I think they just didn't need to talk.
No, they didn't.
They've been fighting together. They've been everything.
They know each other well enough that they can communicate without speaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, after, you know, everything is said and done, we get the scene of Ahsoka in front of all of the graves. And holy shit. Oh, I've always talked about, both on this show and, you know, in the fic that I've written, about how the clones were as much victims in Order 66 as the Jedi were. And I think that's no more demonstrated than in the way Ahsoka treats the clones in this moment. She properly buries them. She, you know, she finds as many of them as she can in the wreckage. She buries them with as much honor as she can in that that time. Because, I mean, obviously they've, you know, crash landed on this planet. But she knows what happened wasn't their fault, and so she still treats them with dignity. she could have just left them. She could have just left that ship. But she can't do that because, one, she's Ahsoka. And they don't deserve that.
Ahsoka sees people as people.
Yeah.
And the clones are people.
And I mean, not only the clones, the droids also got buried, too.
Oh, God, the droids.
Yeah.
I can't talk about the droids. That hurt.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, when I was watching it, watching a droid get hurt is like watching a puppy get hurt.
Yeah, that would hurt. But yes, she buried everyone.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous and beautiful and yeah. And then with Jesse's helmet with the Republic cog right in the front.
Yeah.
Just, you know, burying the Republic.
And then we get the epilogue at the end. And
yeah.
And we knew that Revenge of the Sith was going on. But just that scene of Vader coming out and finding it and finding Ahsoka's lightsabers.
Lightsaber. It wasn't both. It was just one.
It wasn't both. It was just one of them.
It's okay. Just one of them. It's an ongoing question. Where'd the second one go?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Because I think in the Ahsoka novel, she buries both.
Yeah.
In the flashback. So there's something quonky there.
Yeah, there are some changes from the Ahsoka, some minor retcons. Nothing that's too, I mean, obviously that happens with a lot of stuff. Rebels Reborn. I'm not bitter about Rise of Skywalker at all.
Nope. Okay, no, back to Clone Wars.
Yeah, but there is some retcons between the Ahsoka novel and this. Mm-hmm. But nothing that's so glaring that I can't excuse it as maybe Ahsoka remembered things differently.
Or stuff gets edited between publication and film.
Or, like, it's obviously several years later. Like, it's not, like, Vader does not find it right away.
Right.
Maybe the other lightsaber had been there and just, but like...
We see her drop the one. That's the thing, is it's very, very there. Yeah. And I had the thought on rewatch. Was she leaving her lightsaber to say, you know, I'm done with being a Jedi. This is the end. Because it also hit me that she knew what happened to Anakin. She had to have known. She felt something.
I feel like, based on what we saw in Rebels, which granted, like, there can be differences, she might have known he fell.
Mm-hmm. But not that he was Vader.
I don't know if she knew that he survived.
But whichever it was, yeah.
She was still in Twilight of the Apprentice. Mm-hmm. She was surprised that Vader and Anakin were the same person.
See, I think she's a little bit in denial, but
she had some like inkling of it, but she needed to have that moment where she actually saw Anakin's fate,
right,
fully embrace it.
But back to our lightsaber, the connection I was going to make with that was, I think in a, addition to leaving the Jedi behind, that was the lightsaber that Anakin gave her.
Yeah.
And she just went, he is gone. And she left him behind also.
Yeah. I mean, there is also, it's like, is the lightsaber there to say, I'm still alive? Or is it to say, I died?
Well, there was, someone had to have buried the clones.
That's true.
There was no way that, I mean, unless he figured, well, maybe Rex survived.
Yeah. But
I don't think Ahsoka would put Rex in that situation.
I don't know. It's vague enough that we did get the Ahsoka novel.
I love open-ended Filoni endings. I really, really do.
I love them up to a certain extent, but then I want them picked up again.
Well, yes, but I love...
You hear that, Filoni?
Give me my Rebels continuation. But I love that he leaves us with questions.
Yeah.
I really do, because now all I want, and I texted just to you shortly after the episodes, all I want now is a series about Rex finding clones.
Yes.
And rescuing them.
Yes.
I basically just want an entire series of Dee Bradley Baker talking to himself yes. playing every character in the show. And just, you know, how did Wolf end up with them? How did Gregor end up with them in Rebels?
Yeah.
Is Ecto still out there? I mean,
I'm MC and I approve this message.
Yeah. I mean, we don't see what happens to the Bad Batch. What if Rex went and found it hurt him so much when Ecto walked away? What if Ecto was still there? Yeah. So yes,
what happened to Cody? Like, because we know that Cody, like, he did attack Obi-Wan, but we didn't see him die.
Right. So yeah. So what I want as a follow up to this is all clones.
Yeah. No, I would be fully for that. Like, I want Eddie Bradley Baker to just talk to himself.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Every week.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't need to have anybody else in it. You can maybe, like, occasionally, like, throw in, like, Ahsoka, mm-hmm. but it doesn't need to be that often. You don't even need to actually see her. It could just be over, like, radio or whatever.
Yeah.
I would also hologram.
I would also be okay with Rex finding escaped Jedi and just sending them on to something, to safety.
We still don't know what happened to Quinlan Vos.
We do know he survives.
We do know he survives, but that's it.
Yes. Yeah. So yes. Basically, everything was amazing, and I loved it. And
yeah,
I want more.
I do want more. I mean, I'm okay with the Clone Wars being done now, because mm-hmm. obviously you can't go any further with the Clone Wars because
The Clone Wars are over.
Yeah. But there are still enough characters that they can do some really interesting things in between. Mm-hmm. Kenobi series.
I'm good with someone showing up on Tatooine, needing help.
And I guess, like, let's talk about this just a little. Like, we'll get more into it in another episode, but let's talk about it now because this episode's going to be going up soon. But there are rumors going around, some very, you know, I call them substantial mm-hmm. rumors about The Mandalorian season 2. And rumors are that, one, Ahsoka will be in the series. And also, there are some pretty heavy rumors that Temuera Morrison is going to be in the series. And most people are saying, oh, Boba Fett. But then there's another group of people who are saying Boba Fett and Rex.
Yes, I've definitely seen the rumors of both.
Yeah. And I would be here for that. Like, I would love to have... It makes... We've talked about Filoni and his attention to detail mm-hmm. in respecting everything that came before it. And this is all stuff that Filoni himself, like, spearheaded. So, yeah. Like, Mandalorian have Ahsoka mm-hmm. and Rex appear, and can you imagine Din Djarin interacting with the heroes of the Siege of Mandalore, considering how he feels about Mandalore?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah, okay.
I also want to see Ahsoka and Baby Yoda, but we'll get more into this in another episode, because certainly we have a lot of stuff to say about future stuff for the Mandalorian, mm-hmm. but this is just things using Clone Wars characters that just give us more with these characters, just all of the things.
Yeah.
Give us the story where Rex is able to fix his aging so that he can live to the sequel trilogy, because I refuse to live in a world without Rex in it.
I totally agree.
Unless you do something that is set like hundreds or thousands of years in the future or the past, which I know you're doing, it's fine to do something without Rex then. But mm-hmm. if you're doing something in the general vicinity of the Skywalker saga, then Rex is fucking around.
Yes. Rex deserves better.
So I think that brings us to the end of this episode, because we've gone on quite a long time about all things Clone Wars. But mm-hmm. we could talk about the Clone Wars forever, because God, we love them.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to that book that they're going to be mm-hmm. doing about the Clone Wars. So much so that I'm probably going... Well, no, I'm not going to be disappointed, because it's going to be the Clone Wars. But I have so many expectations of things that I would like.
When's that one out? Do you remember?
I don't know when anything is coming out anymore because I think they had announced things, but with what's going on in the world right now, I don't know if anything is still on the same schedule.
Yeah, I think that one hasn't changed. I don't think. I'm trying to find it, but I don't remember what it's called either. But yeah, so there's a Clone Wars novel coming and I'm excited.
Yeah.
And it's going to be wonderful.
It will be.
And yes.
And yeah, I'm not disappointed in any of these episodes, like even with my reservations about the Ahsoka's walkabout, it was still highly enjoyable. It's just the Clone Wars is so great. And now we can go back and rewatch the entire series from start to finish in chronological order and throw in the Son of Dathomir and Dark Disciple. That's the name.
Speaking of chronological order, did you know that Bad Batch actually takes place after Ahsoka's walkabout?
I was vaguely aware of that.
I heard someone else talking about it this morning. So,
yeah.
Which really doesn't make a bit of difference, but
yeah,
Clone Wars always was out of order, and it's out of order right till the end.
Yeah, it's fitting.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so tell us what you thought of the Clone Wars, what you thought of the episodes of Season 7, what you would like to see done with the characters that managed to survive, the book that's going to be coming out. Lots of stuff to talk about, as always. You can contact us on Twitter at SW Trash Podcast, or you can contact me personally at MC Frotus.
I am at Murnell.
And you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Tumblr at Trash Compactor Podcast. And if you enjoy what we're doing, please support us on Patreon. That helps us make more episodes because we have several goals in mind for things that we would like to do. And if we have more support, then we can do them. We'd like to do a bunch of other stuff. There's so much stuff for us to do, but we can only do it if we have the support. So go to Trash Compactor Podcast on Patreon to support us. And until next time, I am one with the Force and the Force is with me.
And this arc of episodes was perfect. There was a disappointing lack of Garrick, though. May the Force be with you.